wrapping up our 2020 All In campaign, and I am excited today because we are only 7 days away. Everybody say seven. Come on. 7 days away from our LifeGate family Christmas, y'all. Come on, who's excited about LG family Christmas? I am. 7 days from today, man, we are going all in this year for Christmas to just give an opportunity for you to invite people to come and be a part. I mean, next week we're going to have our candlelight. We're going to have Christmas music. We're going to have some fun stuff from the kids that I'm telling you, you're not going to want to miss a great Christmas message. But then on top of all of that, between the services and after the services, we're going to out there, man, I'm telling you, we're going to have Santa. And Santa this year is bringing his and some real live reindeer, you guys, so that you can take your Instagram pictures and all that stuff, fun with that. And then I looked at the forecast. I know it's rainy today, but next Sunday, I noticed it's supposed to be like 65 degrees and sunny. But even with it 65 and sunny next Sunday, we're going to have the forecast for LifeGate is snow, you guys, because we got real snow that's going to be here for the kids to play in and enjoy that, have fun. And then I told you last week, man, so pumped about this. Like we've got a petting zoo, and we're gonna have llamas, real life llamas here next week. I know, I thought y'all'd be more excited about that. Come on, can I get a, oh yeah, come on. It's going to be awesome. You're gonna enjoy that. The kids can get in there and play with those. You can take pictures. And why are we doing all this? We're doing all this because it is an opportunity, you guys, to reach people in our community. In fact, how many know people will go to church at Christmas time that wouldn't go to church on other times of the year? And so this gives us an incredible opportunity to reach out to our neighbors and to our friends and to our family members and co-workers and people that we know and invite them to come to church on Christmas. In fact, how many of you, help me out, raise your hand, how many of you know somebody who doesn't go to church that needs to go to church? Come on, raise your hand. A family member, a co-worker, someone like that. And here's what we're doing. We're just trying to make it easy for you to invite them. Just say, hey, come, pet the llamas. Come on, hey, get your picture with Santa Claus and come and let your kids play in the snow. I mean, it is going to be a great day. In fact, we have made it easy for you to share that because we have made a Facebook event. In fact, if you want to go and find that, you can share that. You can tag people in that to invite them and then follow up on that. Just don't just tag them, but follow up on there with a text message or a phone call sometime this week to invite them. And then on top of all that, be praying, y'all. How many know that there is a spiritual aspect to this as well? Be praying for them this week that their hearts would be open, that they'll, first of all, that they'll come, but secondly, that when they come, they will hear the message of Jesus Christ and their eternity will be changed. Come on, how many would pray with me on that this week? In fact, we did it in the first service. I want to do it again today. I would like to take just a moment right now to pray for everyone that's going to see that event on Facebook, everyone that's going to see the advertising in local life, everyone that you're going to invite, your friends and your neighbors and your family. I want to pray for them right now. And I'm just believing that next week we're going to see a harvest of souls, of people coming to relationship with Jesus, people connecting to the church. And it's going to be because you do your part and God does his part. And so we're going to pray for that. How many would join me in that right now? Let's just take a moment. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we just pray for our friends, for our neighbors, for our family, for our coworkers, for the people, Lord, that are going to see the Facebook advertisement, for the people who are going to see the Local Life advertisement, for the people we're going to text and we're going to call and we're going to invite, for the people who may think that next week they're just coming to play in the snow or to get pictures with Santa, but what they don't realize is they're going to come and they're going to experience you and their life is going to be forever changed. God, we pray for next week for good weather. God, we pray for next week for everything to come together smoothly, for no issues that would keep people from getting in the car and driving to church so that their life can be touched for all eternity. God, we pray for those that are going to be watching online, those that are inviting friends to watch online next week. God, we pray in Jesus' name for a harvest of souls of people coming to Jesus Christ as we celebrate the birth of your son. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's just give the Lord praise for what he is going to do. I'm excited about that. And somebody say, why are we doing this? Like, why are we going all in like this? And that's because we have a calling. You are called. In fact, everybody nudge your neighbor. Tell them, come on, you are called. You are called. I am called. The calling of God is not just something for the pastor. It's not just something for the leadership team or for the staff of the church, but every single one of us as followers of Christ, God has a calling for our lives. He has called us to go all in on the things that, the purposes that he has for our lives. And so that's what we've been looking at in this campaign, in this series. We've just been talking about a few of the kind of basic fundamental things that as believers that God has called us to do. In fact, the first week we talked about how we are called to gratitude, called to be people who are grateful. We learned so much about that. Then we talked about how we are called together to actually do what we're doing right now, together to worship, how Jesus said, when two or three gather in my name, that I am there among them. We learned about that last week. Like, we dove into the tough subject. We talked about how we are called to give and how we are called to be generous. In fact, that's part of what All In is all about. In fact, today at the end of the message, we're going to give you an opportunity to be generous in your All In giving. Today's the day for our seed offering for this coming year. And so we've learned about that. Now today, we're going to wrap this all up by talking about this one last thing that I believe that God has called every single believer to. It's a very basic thing he called every one of us to, and that is this, that you and I are called to grow. We are called to grow. In fact, let's just start today with some good news. How many of you like good news? Come on, right? How many of you can use some good news in some difficult times right now, right? All right, here's the good news. You ready for the good news? I don't know if y'all are ready for this. You ready? Here's the good news. You ready? God loves you. Come on. Is that good news? Like, I thought you would get more excited about that today. That's incredible news. That the God of the universe, that he would even care about us, that he would even see us, and that he would take the time to love us. I mean, I am so thankful for the love of God in my life. Come on, that is great news. But wait. There's more. Come on, how many would like to have even better news than that? Come on, right? And here's the better news than that, is not only does God love you, but God actually loves you just the way that you are. Come on, isn't that amazing? That a perfect God would love someone like me or someone like you that is far from perfect. Come on, nudge your neighbors. Tell them, you're far from perfect. Come on, tell them. You and I, so many flaws, so many mistakes, so much sin in our life, and yet this perfect God, he not only loves us, but he loves us just the way we are. In fact, this is the state that every single one of us were in when he called us. He didn't wait for us to get it together. He didn't wait for us to have a perfect life before we could be a part of the calling that he has for us. Just the way that we are, God loved us and he calls us just the way we are. Come on, that is amazing news. And yet there's even better news than that. Come on, how could it ever get any better than that? But I'm telling you, it does get better than that, because not only does God love you, and not only does God love you just the way that you are, but here's the greatest news of all. God loves you too much to leave you the way that you are. In fact, he loves us so much that he sees the incredible potential inside of us, and he has called every single one of us to grow to that full potential that he has for our lives. Now, when I think about this incredible news, I think about this guy in the Bible, the Apostle Peter. Now, here's the thing about Peter. If you know his story at all, he didn't start out as an apostle. He didn't start out having any of it together. In fact, you look at Peter, and I mean, he was one of the most immature, insecure people. I mean, he was constantly putting his foot in his mouth. He was constantly complaining. He was constantly comparing. He was constantly, like, struggling with all of these things. And yet, you see the progression that happens in Peter's life, and he starts out kind of a mess. And yet, you watch his life, and he doesn't stay there. Like, he grows, and God begins changing him and growing him until he becomes like what we know as the Apostle Peter, and later on would actually go on to write some books in the New Testament. And I want you to see what this incredible apostle, what he said about how God has called us to grow. It's found in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 5. And I want you to see what he says here. He says, "For this reason, I want you to make every effort to add to your faith goodness, And to goodness, add knowledge. And to knowledge, add self-control. And to self-control, add perseverance. And to perseverance, add godliness. And to godliness, add mutual affection. And to mutual affection, add love. For if you possess these qualities in what? Everybody say these words aloud. In increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is Peter saying? Peter is saying God has called you to grow. That it starts with faith. I hope that if you are here today, I hope you have a faith in God. And that is a good foundation and a good place to start. But that's not where it ends. Peter goes, no. Don't just have faith, but to your faith, add some knowledge. And to your knowledge, add some goodness. And to your goodness, add some self-control. And to your self-control, add some perseverance and some mutual affection and some love. Don't just stop with faith, but keep growing into the potential that God has for your life. Now, when I read that, it makes me think of my beautiful, wonderful, amazing wife. Come on, how many of you love Pastor Amber? I love Pastor Amber. She's the best. And last week, I kind of teased her just a little bit, and so I thought, well, that went so good. I should tease her again some more today. But this time, I gave her a heads up that I was going to do it, all right? And when I read this passage, I think of my lovely wife, and I think about the way that she is with Christmas decorations. Because just when I think we have enough Christmas decorations, something happens. It's called December 26th. And how many know what happens on December 26th? Come on, all the ladies in the house are raising their hand, right? Hobby Lobby puts things on sale. And I was telling her yesterday the story, and she's like, no, it ain't 50. I said 50%. She said, no, it ain't 50%. 75% off on the Christmas decorations right after Christmas, right? And so just when I think, like, we got enough snowmen in our house, she goes, no. To the 7 snowmen, we need to add 14 more snowflakes. Come on, right? And to the 14 snowflakes, we need to add like 3 more at least Santa Clauses. Come on. And to the 3 Santa Clauses, we got to add like 7 more stars. And to the 7 stars, oh, now we got to add like a few throw pillows and throw blankets that are decorated in Christmas decorations. Come on, how many know what I'm talking about, right? Because 1 ain't enough. We don't stop with faith. To our faith, we just keep adding to it. And I know I'm teasing my wife a little bit today, but I'm the same way. And some of you guys are too. Because how many know you don't stop with 1 pair of shoes? Come on. You add to your 3 pairs of Nikes. You got to add 7 more pairs of Adidas. Come on. Any guys in the house today? And to your 7 pairs of Adidas. Come on. You got to add a few pairs of Air Jordans. And to your Air Jordans, you got to have a few pairs of boots that you wear on a rainy day like today, right? Because you can never stop growing in your shoe collection. Come on. Some of you are like that with your golf clubs, and some of you are like that with your whatever it is that you like to collect. And here's what the scripture is saying. The scripture is saying, hey, never stop growing. Don't stop with just faith, but to your faith, keep growing it. You are called to grow, and God has incredible potential for you. And yes, he loves you just the way that you are, and yet he loves you too much to leave you that way. He sees greatness inside of you, and he called you just in the state that you were in, and yet your calling causes you to have to grow more into the image of God, that he is constantly changing us from glory to glory to glory to glory to make us more like him. And that's what All In is all about. I know some of us are saying, well, Pastor, you keep telling us to give more and to do more and to grow more. And haven't we done enough? And haven't we grown enough? And haven't we given enough? And don't we serve enough? And haven't we sacrificed enough? And yes, I'm so thankful for those that do all of those things. But here's what I know. God never stops growing us. And he never stops wanting us to give to him more of our heart and more of our lives. And that's what All In is all about. You and I, we are called to grow into the potential, into the fullness of what God has called us to be. So what does that look like? Well, I want us to just take just a minute, and I want to just see if we're going to live out this calling to grow. I think there are 4 things that we're going to have to do in our lives, 4 things that we're going to have. So if you're taking notes, you can write these 4 things down. The first one is this. If you're really going to grow into your full potential, here's what you have to have. You're going to have a place to grow in. Everybody say a place. You have to have a place. If you're going to grow to your full potential, what you got to have is you got to have a place where you can grow. In fact, check out what the scripture says in Psalm chapter 92 and verse number 12. We actually looked at this passage a couple of weeks ago, but I want to dig into it a little deeper today. It says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree, and they will what? Say this word aloud. And they will grow like a cedar of Lebanon when they are planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. Now let's break this down for just a minute. Basically, here's what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, hey, your life is like a seed, and that seed is powerful. That God wants to grow that seed so that it can flourish and so that it can have incredible fruit. But the only way that that seed can grow is when it gets planted somewhere. In fact, think about a seed for a minute today. I mean, think about a seed in the natural. So much incredible potential in a seed. Something so little that you can hold it in your hand. And yet when you take that little seed and you plant it into the ground, what happens? That seed can grow and become a whole tree. And it doesn't just stop there, but that tree can then produce more seeds that then can be planted into the ground that can actually become a whole forest. And it doesn't stop there because that forest can then begin to produce fruit so that people can eat and be nourished by the fruit. But not just that, like it can produce wood so that you can build homes and you can build buildings and you can build places for people to live and places for people to gather. And not just that, but then that wood can then be turned into paper that can be made into a book that then can bring education around the world. And all of that potential is wrapped up right there in that one little seed. And yet, here's the thing about the seed. The seed can never experience all of that potential unless you plant it in the ground. And it's the same for every single one of us. There's potential that God has placed inside of us. But the only way we will ever experience the growth to that full potential is when we get ourselves planted. And where do we plant? Well, what does it say right there? It says it right there in the scripture that we will grow and we will flourish when we are planted in the house of the Lord. What's that talking about? It's talking about the church. That you are a seed with incredible potential in you. In the house of God, the church is the ground where the seed is planted so that you can flourish and grow. Now, I know some people say, well, I don't need the church to be able to grow. Like, I'm a Christian, you know, but I just don't go to church. I don't do that whole church thing. Well, that doesn't even make sense. That's like an oxymoron. That's like saying, hey, I'm a football player, but I'm not on a team. Come on, how many know you're going to get pretty beat up, right? It's like saying, I play an instrument, but I'm not in a band. It'd be like, I'm a tuba, you know, but there's no band around me. That doesn't even make sense. Like, as followers of Christ, we're called to be a part of a local church. And some people go, well, you know, like, I like Jesus and I like what he said and I love him, but I just don't love the church. Well, you know what? Think about this. Jesus said that his church was his bride, the bride of Christ. So you know when you say that, you know what that's like? That's like saying, you know what, Jesus, I like you, but I don't like your wife. How many guys in the house know that ain't gonna fly? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that'd be like you saying, and I know nobody would ever say this, but that'd be like you saying, Pastor, I love you, but I don't love your wife. Now, I know that would never happen because there are a lot of people who don't like me, but nobody doesn't like Pastor Amber. Come on, right? But if you did say that, how do you think that would make me feel? And when we say, you know what, Jesus, I love you, but I don't need your church. I don't want to be a part of your church. We're basically saying, God, I love you, but I don't love your bride. And here's the thing, is that it's only within the house of the Lord that the righteous will flourish. Only when we are planted in his courts, when we are planted in his house, do then we reach the potential that God has for every single one of us. In fact, right now, as you have yourself planted in this house today, you are beginning to grow. That even right now as a seed, as I'm preaching this message, it's like water to the seed of your heart so that you can grow. As we were worshiping earlier, it's like the sunlight, the presence of God is like the sunlight that shines on that seed to cause that seed to flourish and grow. It's like the nutrients from the soil around that the roots begin to suck up as we get around other people, other godly people, that their wisdom is sucked up into our lives to bring nutrients and growth so that we can flourish. But it only happens when we have a place to grow in, when we get planted in the house of the Lord. If you're going to grow, you got to have a place to grow in. But then notice the second thing, you got to have a people. Everybody say a people. You got to have a people to grow with. In fact, if you've been around here very long, you've heard me teach this principle before about Genesis when God created the heavens and the earth. I mean, you know the story. He spoke it into existence, and he created the earth and the sky, and he created the sea, and he filled it with all kinds of creatures of the sky and creatures of the sea and creatures of the land and of the earth. And every time he would speak his creation, he would finish the creation with saying, "It is good." And then the Bible says that he took the dirt, the dust of the earth, and he formed Adam, and he breathed life into Adam, and man was born, and he said, "It is very good." But then suddenly in Genesis chapter 2, he says something that seems out of place after "it is good, it is good, it is good." He says, "It is not good." And what did he say was not good? He said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I didn't create him to be alone." And so now he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to create a helper for him so that he can reach his full potential. And so we know he put Adam into sleep, and he took the rib from Adam. He created Eve. And then notice what he tells them to do. Check it out in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 18. And it says, "Then the Lord blessed them and said to" what? "To be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." Basically, I don't want to get too, you know, PG-13 here, but basically he just said, "Hey, Adam and Eve, I want y'all to get together," you know, okay? And when you get together, when you are in intimate relationship with one another, what's the result of that going to be? That there's going to be fruit, and that you were two, but now you're going to three, that you're going to multiply, right? And here's the truth in all of this, is that there is a seed of potential in every single one of us. But that seed of potential cannot be realized on our own. Adam could not multiply on his own. It could only happen when he was in an intimate relationship with Eve. And it's the same for every single one of us, that God sees the potential in every one of us, but we can never fulfill that potential by ourselves. This is the way God created us, that the only way to truly grow to our full potential is when we have people that we are growing with, that iron sharpens iron, that we come together, and there is a multiplication factor that takes place when God's people come together. Here's the deal, guys. Satan knows this. You know what he wants to do? Everything that he can to pull us apart so that we will never reach our full potential. He wants to do that in the church. He wants to do that in your marriage. He wants to do that in society because he knows that there's a seed in us that can never truly be realized by ourselves. And so, you know what he'll do is he'll do anything he can. "Hey, let's have a pandemic down there so that people have to stay 6 feet apart, so that people can't be in the same room, so that people will get frustrated by that and not be able to be together and then not be able to experience their potential. Hey, let's stir up some political stuff so that people will get frustrated with one another and people will take sides and be on either side of the thing and post up on Facebook so that it'll cause relationships to be divided, because when they come together, there's potential that can only be realized when people come together. Let's create some racial tension and some stuff and some injustices so that people will be separated. Let's get some people to have some strong opinions about stuff. Oh, should we wear a mask or not wear a mask? Should we shut down or not shut down? Let's get people separated so that they can't experience the growth that only happens when people come together in intimate relationship with one another. If we're truly going to grow, you have to have a place to grow in. You have to have a people to grow with. But then notice the third thing is you're going to have some problems to grow through. Now, this is where it gets really tough, Because the truth is, if I were to say, how many of you want to grow to your full potential? Come on, everybody be raising their hand. Me, man, I want to grow, right? And then if I were to say, how many of you want to experience some trials, troubles, and problems in your life? You'd be like, not me, somebody else. You know what I'm saying, right? But those two things go together. In fact, we can only grow to our full potential when we experience resistance and struggle and problems. In fact, it's sometimes the struggle that brings about the greatest strength in our lives. In fact, you know, some of you like to exercise. Anybody like exercising and lifting weights, stuff like that, right? Right. I don't know why you like that, but I love you anyway, right? And here's the thing, like, I know it's obvious. I know a lot about working out, right? I knew it's obvious. Why are y'all laughing? I don't know much about it, but I do know the basics of it are this. If you want to build muscle, what do you have to do? You have to put strain on that muscle. You lift those weights, and it's the resistance that does what? Breaks the muscle down so that when then there is some rest, then the muscle is built back. And when it's built back over time, it becomes bigger and stronger. Come on, you see what I'm saying? And this is the same way it is in our lives. This is what opposition, struggle, problems, stuff like what we have faced this year in our lives, this is what it does. It breaks us down to a point that then when we learn how to rest, come on, and trust in the Lord, then as we are built back up, we are built back up stronger and better and bigger than we were before. And this is what the scripture is talking about in James chapter 1. Look what it says in verse number 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. What in the world? How am I supposed to be happy when I got problems and trials? But that's not what it's talking about. It's just talking about perspective. It's saying, hey, when you're going through stuff, you can actually have a perspective on this that says, hey, I may be going through problems, but the problem actually might be working for my good. In fact, this is what he says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And perseverance has to finish its work so that you can be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Isn't that what we're talking about? Growing to our full potential. And the only way we can grow to our full potential is when we experience some trials and some struggles and some problems, because it produces inside of us a perseverance that causes us eventually, after we have rested in the Lord and learned the things that we need to learn, to grow back stronger and better than we were before, mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, the opposition that you are facing might just be the greatest opportunity for growth in your life. Now, I know some of you go, man, I must be huge by now because I got lots of opposition. But here's the truth. It's not just about going through problems. It's about growing through problems. And how many know there's a difference? Because a lot of people, all of us, go through problems, but it's obvious not very many people grow through problems. In fact, some of you go, man, I've got a lot of experience. And this guy said, man, I've been following Jesus 20 years, and I'm 20 years experience as a Christian. And, you know, many people, they're not 20 years of experience. You know what they are? 1 year repeated 20 different times. Because we went through it, but we didn't grow through it. So what is the difference? I'll tell you, here's the difference. Write this down if you're taking notes. Growing, here's the thing. It's not just about what you experience. It's about how you evaluate what you experience. Did you learn from it? In fact, some of you are going through struggles and trials right now. Let me ask you, what are you learning from it? If I asked you, could you tell me, man, this is what I'm learning? In fact, this is what I would challenge you to do as we wrap up 2020 and get ready to go into 2021. You might want to do some evaluation. You might want to sit down with the notes on your phone, or sit down with a counselor or a friend or a spouse or a life group leader and say, hey, these are the things that I've faced, the problems, the trials, the struggles, and how have I grown from them? How am I going to be different because of them? Because God has called us to grow. And if we're going to grow, it's only going to happen when we have a place to grow in and a people to grow with. And then when we have some problems to go grow through. And then finally, it takes a purpose to grow towards. Oh man, this is the biggest one of all. Because if we're really going to grow, you know what it's going to take? It's going to take having a purpose that we're growing for. In fact, I'll just tell you this. The greatest growth that has happened in my life spiritually You know when it happened? It happened when I began in ministry, when I began in the call. I mean, I told you about it a few weeks ago, how I was 15 years old, God called me into ministry. And then when I was 19 years old, I became a youth pastor. And suddenly something clicked in me. Because before then, man, I'd read my Bible, I'd pray, I'd do things. But suddenly when I had a purpose, suddenly when I had a calling that I was living for, suddenly when I would read my Bible, it wasn't just like me reading my Bible, but suddenly it was like, hey, I'm reading my Bible to grow so that I can help all these students grow. Suddenly when I'm praying, it wasn't just about me praying, it's about, whoa, like I don't know how to lead these kids and I need God, I need to grow because I'm desperate because I got a big purpose, a big dream that I'm trying to live in. And when I'm studying it, suddenly it's like, I'm not just studying it so I know it, but now I got to teach it to a bunch of teenagers, and suddenly there was this desperation to grow because I had a purpose that I was growing towards. And some of y'all are going, well, Pastor, you're talking about growing and stuff, but why do I need to grow? And the reason you're saying that is because maybe you don't have a purpose you're growing for. And maybe what you need is you need a God-given calling. Maybe you need to realize, man, I need a vision. I need a dream that's bigger than me, that I can never reach on my own, that would cause me to say, man, I can't do this unless I grow. Some of you, you need to be leading something. You need to be leading a life group. You need to be leading a ministry. Some of you need to just discover that, hey, I already am leading something. I'm leading my family. And man, I got to grow so that I can, how can I disciple my kids if I'm not a disciple myself? I'm leading a business. And man, I'm not just their boss and they're my employees and I'm just paying their paycheck. But man, I'm responsible. One day I'm going to stand before God and give an account for how I led these employees that I am leading. And so I got a purpose, a reason, a vision, a dream that I have to grow towards. The truth is so many people, man, here's the deal, is that so many people live for a dream that's one that's going to be gone as soon as this life is over. But what if we got a vision to say, man, I'm going to grow towards a purpose that's bigger than me and that will outlast me towards an eternal purpose. And instead of just growing towards how can I build my portfolio or how can I check off stuff on my bucket list or how can I make sure that, you know, that I do all the stuff so I can put it all the experiences on my Instagram and everyone else can see, instead saying, hey, what if instead of building my portfolio, I spent my life to store up treasures in heaven? What if instead of trying to check off stuff off my bucket list of my experiences, I live my life to point people to experience the presence of God in their life? What if I decided I'm not just a parent, but instead I'm responsible for my children and for their eternal destiny? Come on, what if we decided I'm not just leading a business, but I have an opportunity to build a kingdom business and I'm going to use my life for something that's bigger than just me? Some of you go, man, I don't know if I have a purpose. Well, you know what? You can borrow ours. We have a purpose. What is that purpose? To make moments, to change lives. What is that purpose? To be a people who'd say, man, I'm all in to do all that God has called me to do. What is that purpose? Here's our vision and our dream, to have what we call a double kingdom impact. To double over this next 5 years, to see double what we see on what you see on these papers and the things that happened this year, that we would double that over the next 5 years. You know what? That's a big enough dream that it's gonna cause us to have to grow. And it's gonna cause us to have to stretch. And it's gonna cause us to have some faith. And that's what happens. That's why I say is, man, maybe you don't have a purpose that you're living for, but you can live for the purpose that we're living for together, to make an impact on our community and around the world. What's that going to take? It's going to take people going all in. It's going to take people who follow the great commandment to love God with all our heart and soul, our mind, our strength. That's what we've been talking about in this series. God, I want you to have more of my heart and soul. How do I know that God has my heart? One of the ways I know is, what am I doing with my finances? Am I investing them into the kingdom of God? And that's why we've challenged everybody during this series leading up to today to say, hey, could you take steps towards everybody being generous? Maybe you're not giving anything, you start giving something. Maybe you're giving something, but it's not regular. You start doing that on a regular basis. You go online and you make it a recurring thing where it just comes out on a regular basis. Maybe you're doing that already. You say, man, I'm going to start tithing. Maybe you're already tithing. You're going to say, hey, man, I'm going to do 11% or 12% or 15%, or I'm going to do a seed offering like we're doing at the end of this service today to just say, God, I want you to have all of my heart and soul. God, I'm growing towards you having not just all my heart and soul, but you having all my mind. What does that mean? That means, man, I'm going to take steps of faith that go beyond what makes sense in my mind, beyond my own understanding. Man, one great practical way to do that this week is just to take a step of faith out and invite somebody to come to Christmas service next week and see what God does in their life. That I'm going to grow towards loving you with all of my strength. What does that mean? Everybody finding a place to serve in the local church. This week there are opportunities to do it. Christmas Express is on Saturday. We need more volunteers and people to serve there. You could serve there. You could serve next Sunday for our Christmas Sunday to just say, man, God, all that I have, it's yours. Because God, you love me just as I am. God, you love me so much that you see the potential in me and you are calling me to something greater. I'm planting myself in a place where I can grow with people that I can grow with. Through struggles and problems of this year, I'm going to grow because I have a greater purpose that I'm living towards. And that's my prayer for every single one of us today. In fact, I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning. Father, I just thank you. God, I thank you, Lord, that today you're calling us to greater things, greater growth, Lord, in you. God, it stretches us and it takes faith and it can be painful to go through the struggles and the problems and all of those things. And yet, God, I know, Lord, that as you continue to pull us forward, you see incredible potential in us. But it only happens as we go all in with you. Father, I pray for every person that's in this room. Maybe there are some that are not, they've not began that growth journey with you because they've not began a relationship with you. Some that say, I'm not where I should be in my relationship with God. But God, I pray right now, today would be the day they would surrender it completely to you. Heads bowed, eyes are closed all over this room. If that's you and you're in this room, or maybe you're watching online, you say, Pastor, that's me. I know I'm not where I should be. My relationship with God. But today I want to be. I'm ready to begin that journey. Pastor, please pray with me. If that's you all over this room, would you just lift a hand? I know I'm not where I need to be with God, but today I want to be right with him. Those of you online as well, I see one back there in the back, another one over here, right here in the front. Pastor, pray with me. Here's what I want us to do all over this place. I want us to just stand on our feet. Those of you that are watching at home, stand on your feet if you can. Wherever you're at, I want us to pray this prayer together. Everyone praying aloud. Dear Jesus, I confess I'm a sinner. I fall short of your standard. But I thank you. You love me just as I am. But you also call me to higher levels. So now I surrender my life. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Savior and be my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, can we just give the Lord an offering of praise today?
Thank you for joining us online today. Make sure and hit subscribe to this channel and hit the bell for more notifications. We can't wait to engage with you this week.